Welcome back to RSN. We're now going to speak to Evan Priest, the leading Golf Digest journo, who's going to join us after a magnificent US Open yesterday and talk about research. Evan was that impressed with Matt Fitzpatrick. He followed him for the best part of a decade. Some footage emerging recently of Evan following him around at the 2013 US Amateur, where Aussie Oliver Goss was second there. So safe to say, Evan, you've kept your eye on Matthew Fitzpatrick for a long, long time, and yesterday you witnessed his career highlight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I remember I was just sort of starting out my journalism career and in golf at that point, and I was keenly following. There were a couple of Aussies really doing well in that US Amateur at Brookline, and I was a little bit disappointed in the end when Oliver Goss lost, but I sort of thought, all right, well, I'm going to follow the winner for a few years and see how he goes, and look at that, 9 years later, he's a US Open champion at the same course.
And Oliver Goss, I had to do some research on him. He's going around on the Corn Ferry Tour, so it's just amazing how he was so close to him on that occasion. But Matthew Fitzpatrick's obviously gone on to be one of the best in the world since.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really worked hard in his game, Matt Fitzpatrick. He's sort of, you know, physically, he's not one of the biggest guys on tour. In fact, he's actually one of the smallest, but he's put in the hard yards. He's super analytical about his game, and he gets every inch out of his game that he possibly can. And he's actually sort of added a few yards to his arsenal the last couple of years, and that sort of was the catalyst for him being able to be long enough to win this US Open. So it was just a fantastic week, and I wish I could go back 7 days
and take the 30-1. Evan, and it had a great moment. Like all tournaments, you need a significant moment, and that bunker shot on 18, he's called it the best shot of his life. What were you thinking when you saw he was in there, and how would you describe that shot?
Yeah, it was actually amazing. So I was standing right to the left of Fitz in the rough area there. There were a couple of journos walking around inside the ropes, and when he hit that tee shot, I thought it was really great. He loved it. He picked up the tee quickly, and then when he rolled into that bunker, I was thinking, oh, I don't know, am I about to watch one of the great, you know, 72nd hole collapses in US Open history? But that shot just came out of nowhere. He couldn't have hit a shot on the biggest stage at a better time. It was an 8-iron. He just absolutely flushed it. It was pure, and the crowd went nuts. There must have been about, I would say, 20 to 25,000 people on that hole alone. It was just bedlam.
Evan, it was a fascinating finale to that tournament. Fitzpatrick was successful. We know how hard it is to win majors, but he does seem like he's got the makeup to be a player going forward that could win multiple majors. What are you expecting immediately for him at the upcoming British Open at Royal Andrews? And do you think he's sort of got the temperament that he could be one of those guys that's really competing over the next decade?
Yeah, I really think so. And the reason that I say that is because this US Open victory wasn't based on one particular thing. If you go back and look at some of the major champions over the last few years, you know, Jordan Spieth putted better than maybe anyone ever has in the history of the game for about 12 months, and it's hard to keep that up. Putting is, it's like water, it slips through your fingers. And then someone like Dustin Johnson, you can't hit it that far forever. But every part of Matt Fitzpatrick's game seems sustainable to me. And obviously the Open, he's an Englishman. He grew up wanting to win that probably more than any other tournament. So I definitely expect him to get into contention at St. Andrews next month. And I definitely expect him to hang around there for the better part of the next 5 or 10 years. He's just a phenomenal talent, and he works hard maybe more than anyone on tour.
And what was the vibe given the Saudi thing, the Liv, the Greg Norman, that's been all in the headlines the last month or so? What was the vibe like at this tournament given, you know, big changes are happening in golf?
Yeah, it's a good question. It kind of dominated the conversation right up until the first tee shot was hit on Thursday, and then it really just became about the US Open. You know, the Liv event, the LIV golf event went off quite smoothly, and it was actually a lot better than most people expected in London a couple of weeks ago. It comes here to the United States in a couple of weeks' time and goes out to Portland, Oregon, and everyone's sort of curious to see how the first American edition of that series goes. But it was, you know, it was getting to the point where I think fans were almost exhausted by the talk about LIV golf. But you know what? Pencil yourself in, because today, tomorrow, the next couple of days really are going to be quite explosive, quite dramatic in this whole schism between, you know, in professional golf that's happening at the moment. The LIV Golf is rumoured to make a couple of more signings, a couple of high-profile signings in the next couple of days. One of those being a Mexican golfer called Abraham Anser, who you might remember won the Australian Open, actually, 4 years ago. He will be the second highest-ranked player in the world that LIV Golf has acquired behind Dustin Johnson. He's number 20 in the world. So that'll be a huge scalp for them. It'll be a bit of a slap in the face to the PGA Tour. And then the tournament that's happening this week up there in Connecticut, the Travelers Championship, the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, he's up there right now. They're holding some crisis talks tomorrow morning. They've got a board meeting, and I'm guessing that they'll schedule a press conference tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday afternoon in the States, or Wednesday morning, either one. And they're apparently going to reveal a new schedule, a new look FedEx Cup, sort of, you know, trying to make moves to maybe roadblock LIV Golf and sort of placate the PGA Tour players who are on the fence at the moment, trying to get them to sway them to stay on the PGA Tour. But yeah, so watch this space. It's going to be an explosive couple of days.
Evan, one of the most loved players on tour is Phil Mickelson. Obviously, he's gone over to play on that event and came back to play at the US Open. Didn't play very well. He shot 11 over. But what Phil would not have been used to was the heckling from the crowd. There were a few comments throughout his two rounds. How do you think he copped that? And does that just sum up the change in mentality towards him?
Yeah, it sums up a bit of the changing of the guard, I suppose. The way he was one of the most, not just golf, but most beloved sports fans in the United States of any professional sport. He was the quintessential American. He was a goofy dad. He had a lot of appeal about him. He still does, mind you. He still, trust me, he's one victory away from winning over the American public. They're a very forgiving people over here. So, yeah, I did hear some of that heckling. It was vicious at times. A lot of it was about money because the Boston sports fans, mate, they're brutal. They don't pull any punches. So it was just a stressful week for him. He did a press conference on the Monday afternoon that would just, it looked like the most anxiety-filled experience I've ever sat through. You know, it was stressful. He got 25 minutes of just enormously hard-hitting questions, and he had to justify himself. At one point, he basically had to explain almost as though he was, you know, 9/11 was his fault at some stage. It was, the questions were that sort of unusual and that deep. So I'm sure that he flew back to Arizona or where he lives and licking his wounds and hoping that eventually the spotlight shies away from him.
Do we think any more Aussies will sign up to the LIV?
I do. I just, at this stage, I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think that LIV Golf is going to announce any new Australians in the near future, but I think once they expand the series, so at the moment there's 8 events for this inaugural series. 5 of those are going to be in the United States. Next season there's going to be 14 events, and it looks like there will be one event in Australia there with you guys in Melbourne. It's going to be in Melbourne, and someone's coming down in August to actually scout a venue. So I think once there's an Australian event, LIV Golf will be able to sway a couple of more Australians to come across. You might see a couple of European tour-based Australians, a couple of Asian tour-based Australians. They'll take the money and they'll come over, and good for them. They'll cash in probably more than they ever would have been able to, because, you know, they might not have the games to be able to compete week in, week out on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, I think you might see another handful, but maybe not for a few months.
Evan, sticking with the Aussies, some of them did really well at the recent US Open. Mark Leishman and Adam Scott tied for 14th. Minwoo Lee, though, was the story for mine. This rising star, he was right in contention after 3 rounds, and he's got such a bright future.
He does, yeah. He's physically one of the, probably the most gifted player coming through at the moment. He's got all the shots. He's got an enormously powerful game. He hits a long way off the tee. And he's got the, sort of that cockiness that you might need to perform at this level. He certainly believes that he belongs in the top sort of 60, 50 players in the world. I can see him contending in majors for a long time, and he has the sort of game that will travel anywhere. He's played in Asia, he's played in America, he's played in Europe. He's obviously won once in Europe and twice on the European Tour, one of those being in Australia at the Vic Open. So he's just got the imagination it takes, and time will tell if he can win on the PGA Tour and win a major championship. But he's certainly one that Australian golf fans should be pretty excited for years to come.
Now, we've loved having a chat to you today. Thank you so much for giving up some time. And I did notice that you tipped Matthew Fitzpatrick after round 1. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there someone you like this weekend?
For the Travelers Championship, I like Mark Leishman. He's won there before. That was actually his first ever PGA Tour win at the Travelers Championship 10 years ago. So I think a nice full circle moment 10 years later, win on the same venue, same tournament, and he's just coming off his best ever US Open finish, which was a tie for 14th. So he's feeling confident. His coach has flown over from Australia to sprinkle his magic dust on him, and I think he's off and away, Mark Leishman. So have a flutter on him if you're looking to have a bet on the Travelers Championship.
Absolutely sensational, Evan. We love Mark Leishman. We loved having a chat to you today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Evan Priest, a leading Golf Digest journo. We're going to take